Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Thursday, November 9th. Your 8-3 Detroit Pistons picked up another win on Wednesday night, a 114-97 decision against the Indiana Pacers, putting the first-place Pistons three games clear of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference's Central Division. Tobias Harris led the way with 23 points and 8 rebounds. Reggie Jackson had 18 points from his point guard position. Andre Drummond had 14 points and 21 rebounds, although he was 0-for-7 from the free throw line. We'll see if he's able to bounce back in a couple days. The bench was good once again. Langston Galloway and Ish Smith and former missing person Boban Marjanovic had 9 points in 9 minutes of action in the first half. So good for him. The big fella got his opportunity and made it happen down low. The Pistons were out without John Luehr. Once again, he's out with an ankle sprain. And they were without Stanley Johnson, who has a strained hip flexor right now. Those guys were out. Reggie Bullock got the start in place of Stanley Johnson. Stan Van Gundy the other day said that John Luehr is a possibility of coming back this weekend, more realistically Sunday against the Heat and not Friday night against Atlanta. Stanley Johnson's return is a little bit more up in the air, that hip flexor. As I know it's pretty much just the exact same thing, but I had a hip flexor injury and that thing nags quite a bit. So if my athletic career is any indication, Stanley Johnson might be out for just a little bit, but I'm sure he's got a little bit higher of a pain threshold and maybe more of a athletic body than I did back then, and still to this day, if you can believe that. But anyway, Luis Montero was in uniform for the Pistons with those guys out up from the Grand Rapids Drive. He was active for, I believe, the first time this season. So not only did Hedry Ellinson and Luke Kennard come back from Grand Rapids where they made their one appearance on Sunday, they must have stuffed Luis in the back seat and brought him across the state to downtown Detroit as well. As I mentioned, the Pistons will be back home again on Friday night for the 4th of 5 during this homestand, which has been perfect so far. They're going to be playing the lowly Atlanta Hawks, although Mike Budenholzer has the Hawks, who are very young and very, very tank-tastic so far this year. They're actually playing very hard. They've got a win against Cleveland so far this season, so not the pushover that maybe teams may have expected coming into the season. But then the Pistons will be at home on Sunday afternoon at Little Caesars Arena against the Miami Heat for a 4 o'clock tip-off. That'll be right around the time that the Lions game ends, as hopefully the Lions can pick up a win and go 5-4 against the Cleveland Browns this weekend. The Pistons will then hit the road next week for Wednesday in Milwaukee in a game that I'll be at, and then the team will be in Indiana and Minnesota after that. And those are three teams, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Minnesota, that think they owe the Pistons something after the Pistons knocked them off to start so far this season. I'll have some more thoughts on Wednesday's game to close the podcast a little bit later on, along with the results of our Draft Wednesday contest, which was this week, again, on the Draft app and draft.com. We had another full room, so you should join us next week at draft.com or by downloading the Draft app. When you register, use the promo code LOPISTONS, all caps, for $3 free, which is enough for entry into our weekly contest, which will keep going every Wednesday throughout the month and possibly beyond. It's a lot of fun, and everyone who I've heard of says, hey, I'm back in the NBA now that the Pistons are good again, so I got to learn about some of these guys around the league. So we had a fun time again drafting late afternoon on Wednesday, and then everyone followed the 5 NBA games tonight. But up next, I got a special guest joining us as Beware, my friend Ben, a Detroit rap producer slash writer slash all-around jack-of-all-trades. His new album, Woodward Ave, is out and available now, and he's going to talk to me about the Detroit rap scene and, most importantly, Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond, who has been trying his hand as an MC lately. And I'll get the thoughts from the expert, Beware, about how that's going.
Yes, sir! Never tell me what you will and what you won't try. Swear to God, baby, I can change your whole life. I stay on Mars so I can keep it dumb high. So tell me if it's all right. Vacations all throughout the summer. You can make waves from the Bahamas. I'll call her, don't you say? All if you got it.
All right, now as promised, we are joined by one of my old friends, Beware, who I know better as Ben. He's got a new album out called Woodward Ave. You can find him at 4thstreetbeats.com.
Ben, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Andre Drummond and not what everyone else is talking about, which is his emerging game this year, but him in the studio also. So Andre Drummond last spring released a freestyle verse on Nate Nixon. Nate Nixon released it on Instagram. And then recently, Andre was featured on a song called Bet It from DJ N. Joey, which he released on Twitter as well and threw that out there. His rap name is Dre Drum also. So all things Detroit Pistons and Detroit and rap, you're the first guy I thought of, so I wanted to call you and get your thoughts on it. Beware, what do you think about Andre Drummond as an MC on the mic?
Matt, first of all, I appreciate you having me on the podcast. I've been listening since you took it over, and you know, you're doing a great job. Second of all, in terms of Dre Drum dropping bars, you know, he's pretty solid, man. I have no complaints. He is, I think he's only about four tracks deep, like you mentioned. He dropped something with Nate Nixon, kind of a freestyle type thing. That one specifically was a little, I think that was the worst one of them all, to be completely honest. He's talking about, he's got gun talk and stuff like that there in his bars. But his delivery is solid, his confidence is there, he's got a cool rap voice, that's half the battle. And, you know, since then he put out a couple freestyle tracks. He did one over a DJ Khaled beat, the Chris Brown and Rihanna song. I actually think that one's probably his best one. He did one over Free Smoke by Future, which was solid, another freestyle. And then, like you said, he did the more of a single with the DJ, and it's almost kind of like on a DJ Mustard style beat, and he's got the anchor verse at the end, and he holds it down, man. He does a good job, and like I said, he's got the confidence and the natural skill, which isn't easy to come by. And you know, I think if he sticks with the approach, which seems to be more consistent, it'll probably pan out. I mean, it seems to be a thing that's actually happening in the NBA more so these days, and I don't see why it wouldn't. You know, he's got, hopefully this summer he's got less time this to work on raps in the summer and more time to play playoff basketball. But, you know, typically he's had the time to work on it, so why not?
And it seems like he's kind of grown into himself on the court and off the court. And like you mentioned, he had some free time. He had the surgery this past offseason to repair his deviated septum. He had the nose surgery to kind of free things up. So I think he wasn't conditioning as much. So if Pistons fans are worried that he's not conditioning or in the gym or something like that, it's, well, there was a medical reason for part of that too. But speaking of Andre growing, it seems like he's kind of maybe becoming more of a Detroiter a little bit. He's 24 years old now, into the fifth season, I believe the sixth season actually, and I think he's wearing the Buffs glasses that apparently they're wearing in the city. I don't live in the city,
yeah.
So I can't speak to that, but apparently that's going over pretty big on Twitter. They're calling him 7 Mile Dre sometimes out there too, just kind of a little tongue-in-cheek there. But do you think that he's kind of becoming a little bit of a Detroiter and vice versa, that people are maybe embracing him after a little bit of a rocky start between the fans and Drummond for the first part of his career in some ways?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think he's kind of becoming more of a Detroiter, but he's also becoming more of himself. So in turn, he's becoming a Detroiter. Like you said, he's only like 24 years old or something like that, which is crazy to believe. But, you know, he's still a young guy. So, you know, the time he's been with the Pistons has been a substantial time, and now it's kind of his team. The past year and change, he took a big contract on. It's officially his team. So, yeah, he's going to be here for the long haul. He seems to be embracing it. And I think it's natural that, you know, a guy that young in this type of a situation is going to embrace it. And he seems to be somewhat of a outgoing personality, as everybody knows. I've heard of him doing stand-up you know, lessons around the city. I know he's obviously doing the rapping now. He does a YouTube show. He's just an outgoing personality, and he needs an outlet for it. And it seems that his most popular one, and maybe the one that he's best at outside basketball, is rapping. And yeah, you know, Detroit's obviously got its own swagger, and you know, he seems to be adopting it. It seems to be working. People are digging it. Like I said,
he even had
pretty good.
He even had the clumsy celebrity relationship with the girl from Nickelodeon, if I recall.
She dogged him out. I don't even want to talk about that.
We'll leave that out.
That was a terrible start to Andre's celebrity status.
But in addition to all the rap music scene that I consider you kind of my foremost go-to expert on, you've been a Pistons fan for as long as I've known you through thick and thin, and you were at the game tonight. We're taping this after the Pistons win against the Indiana Pacers, 114-97. We ran into each other when I was at the game that I was at against the 76ers. Mm-hmm. Is that crowd getting any bigger and better and louder? And do you think that this is kind of taking off a little bit?
All of those, checking all those boxes. I would say tonight it was about 65% full, and I would imagine there was probably more like 80% of the tickets sold easily, because it seems like a lot of the corporate seats maybe aren't being filled, but the people that are there are into the games. It's a really diverse crowd. The crowd's into it. I've been to three regular season games and a preseason game, so I've kind of seen the crowd actually progress firsthand, and I can say that definitely it's become more of a sticking audience, meaning that they're sticking with the game. They're not leaving early like they were. But it also has to do with the fact that teams gelling. Like, I'm going to be more inclined to stay for a team that's good and consistently playing and playing tough, as opposed to a team like last season that was really mediocre and really dialed it in half the time. They're not doing that. And a lot of it has to do with the fact they're so deep, because as soon as somebody dials it in, next man up mentality, the guy's there, and that guy's ready to put in, 7, 8, 11, 12 points, and that was almost the case for like 3, 4, 5 guys tonight, which is awesome. That was not the case last year.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, like you said, if the start continues to be anything like it is right now, where they're 8-3 and near the top of the NBA, I think that it will grow and continue. Now, Ben, I wanted to transition a little bit to the album. You got 10 tracks, and it's all Detroit artists. Royce the 5'9", of course, and others, Payroll, Giovanni, and other guys that some of us have heard of a little bit. But I wanted to some of us that were maybe rap fans from the past, or some of the people that are listening that are casual rap fans at best, what do people need to know about the Detroit rap scene, maybe as far as trends or things or people to watch out for? And I know that's a loaded question, but what's the elevator pitch for things to know about the Detroit rap scene right now?
Sure. Well, Detroit has always been kind of an underdog rap scene. You know, we've had a few celebrity status MCs come out of the city, Big Sean, Eminem. But for the most part, we've never really had our time to shine. Like, even when Eminem was popular, there was very few other artists that came alongside him that were popular. That's always been the case, where Chicago has had 10 artists pop off at a time, Atlanta, 20 artists pop off at a time, LA, New York, obviously. But Detroit, has that market, has the notoriety, has the ability to pop, but never has. And I think right now, actually, we're starting to move in that direction for the first time ever. A lot of it has to do with the fact that rap just is, the biggest music genre in the world, and there's more exposure than ever, and Detroit's just a gritty market that's always been consistent, so it's just always been there, and now that the audience is getting bigger, it kind of sees it more. But you've got cats like T. Grizzly, Chavis Chandler, Royce the 5'9" is like the godfather of Detroit rap right now. He's helping put on everybody in the city, really connecting the dots for people. And that's kind of been probably the problem, is that we haven't had people connecting the dots. And people like Royce, people like Trick Trick, definitely, people like Payroll, who I've got on the song with Royce and Chavis. We've got a really good thing going in the city, and I think it's all culminating, and that you're going to see a lot more than just one or two guys pop from the city, and which is awesome, because it's a really diverse scene. It's not like some of the other cities, like where LA has a specific sound, a West Coast rap sound, or Chicago's got more of a soul drill style sound, or Atlanta's got the trap sound. Detroit's got a hip hop sound. They've got a stereotypical rap sound. Detroit rap has a very specific sound. We've got a soulful sound. You can fit 8 different styles into the Detroit rap box, and that's unique to Detroit. Not a lot of other cities can say that. So it's an exciting time to be part of it. Like you said, and I appreciate you mentioning it, I've got the album Woodward Ave just came out. We've got a lot of really talented MCs on there, and it's real music. It's not just singles. Every one of them has a concept. Every one of them, I produced, Beware produced by, and, it's a great, well-rounded project. It's got a little bit of something for everybody, and I think that anybody would enjoy it, whether you're a 12-year-old kid that likes current rap, or you're a, like my mom, who likes the song Lessons by Elzai. Yeah, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
give me a break, Matt. You know, you tell everybody, you know, Matt, you're a year older than me, but when I was in high school, you and your friends were the guys that put me up on rap. A lot of my favorite artists at the time, like Too Short and Rappin' Forte and guys like that, because I didn't have a big brother, so you guys kind of hitched me to the stuff that you were into and had the edge on, so you definitely get a little credit, man.
I appreciate that. Well, we still listen to that stuff, and I know you do, too. And Ben, what's next? What are you working on now? Got the new album out quite recently, but what kind of things should we be expecting from you in particular?
You know, just keep working. My partner, All It Is, and I are just consistently working on new music. We're working on a project with Oba Roland right now, who's an artist I have featured on the album, a little EP that we're working on. Got something similar going with Chavis Chandler, who's also about to drop an album called One Winged Angel that we've got we produced the lead single on. It's called what's the single called? I can't remember the name of the damn single right now, but it's a great single. It's named. I just can't remember it.
No worries.
But man, it's a killer. It's a radio hit. Chavis Chandler. It's super dope. He's super talented. And really excited about it, man. A lot of things going, a lot of forward motion over on the 4th Street beat side.
Great. And the album that is out right now is called Woodward Ave, and you can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get music. You guys have hard copies available at 4th Street Beats.
Right? 4thstreetbeats.com. Yeah, and the Chavis song is called Girl Like You. Girl Like You. Look for that when it comes out. That'll be out in first quarter next year.
Sounds good. And you also write for stillcrew.com. You've been writing for other sites and on Uproxx in the past. And we can find you on Twitter at beware4 as well. Ben, I want to thank you for taking the time tonight. And keep me updated on how things are going in Detroit. I will be there as much as I can this season. But thanks again for your time and your insight into Andre Drummond and the Detroit Raps.
My pleasure, man. Have me on any time. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I want to pass along my congratulations to listener Anthony for getting first placed in the Draft Wednesday contest for the Locked On Pistons contest. So join us next week for that, as we will every Wednesday put together a Locked On Pistons version on draft.com and also on the Draft app. And when you sign up, make sure to use the promo code LOPISTONS, all capitals there. I want to go over some of my thoughts on the Pistons victory from Wednesday night against the Indiana Pacers. I thought it was kind of a schedule loss for Indiana. They came off the back-to-back. You'll hear about these in NBA circles sometimes, that the back-to-back games, the one where there's a little bit of travel involved. Meanwhile, the Pistons had a couple of days off, were able to kind of rest at home a little bit there. I think, and that's a benefit that the Pistons are going to have with the depth. I mean, we talk about the injuries that were coming into this game. Stanley Johnson and John Lue are missing for the Pistons, but Sabonis missing for the Pacers inside for the second straight game. I think that injuries are going to impact other teams a lot more than the Pistons in pretty much all cases because of the Pistons' depth. So, and I think that you might see more of that throughout the season, that as the season wears on, the depth is going to become more of a good factor, more of a plus in the column for the Pistons. And that's why we're going to talk about going in every game here, who the opponent is, who they played recently, are they going through a tough part of the schedule, those kind of things as the Pistons look ahead to some of the games coming up in the future. I think it was noticeable that the Pistons had two waves of high-energy players really throughout the game. They played six guys off the bench, went 11 deep, as opposed to the Pacers, who just had nine guys total play. And one of those, TJ Leaf, just played 7 minutes off the bench. So guys like Corey Joseph and Darren Collison had to deal with a lot of different high-energy guards that all had minutes in the 20s. When you talk about Avery Bradley and Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith and Langston Galloway, all of those guys were able to keep their minutes in the 20s and able to play hard throughout the entire game. I thought Reggie Bullock played well defensively. This was the first time that maybe he stood out to me as an impact player, kind of filling that role of Stanley Johnson without him being there as kind of a low-impact offensive player, but pretty high-impact defensive player. So kudos to him. He played well kind of throughout the game when he got minutes, and Boban showed that he should probably be getting a little bit more minutes. I know it's kind of gimmicky, and I know the fans maybe want him maybe a little bit more than they should want him, but I think he's going to have these games every now and then where he gets in for half a quarter and really makes his impact as he did in the second quarter there. You got to hand it to the bench. They, in the second quarter, kind of turned that from a 7-point deficit to a 7-point lead. with closing out the first half strong. And Tobias Harris, kind of quietly once again, 23 points, knocking down the shot from the outside and really continuing his strong start to the season. So the Pistons are 8-3. I hate to nitpick, and there really isn't much to nitpick about. So we're going to end on a positive there. Again, this is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. I want to thank our guest today, Beware. The album Woodward Ave is out right now. Check it out on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or check it out on 4th Street Beats, the number 4, 4thstreetbeats.com. They've got hard copies of the CD available in case you're still rocking the compact discs. So that'll do it for this episode of Locked On Pistons. We'll be back on Thursday to get on Friday to get ready for the weekend games against the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat as the Pistons try to keep it rolling.